Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is another wonderful day that the Lord our God has made. And it also is Merry Christmas. God is mighty to move and by His Spirit. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing, all the treasures He's given us. And because the Lord is good, He gives us all the precious things in this life to help us go forward and represent Him. The world needs to see that God is good towards His people who trust Him and take Him at His word. It's a good thing for you to prosper. In fact, we're commanded to grow and thrive in this life. If you look at any tree, it used to be a seed. And it didn't stay small, it got big. It got huge. There are some trees that grow so huge that you can hollow the bottom and drive a car through it, and it's still strong enough to stand for centuries. God is good. Great things grow. Great things used to start out small and they grow. They don't stay the same. They grow. We grow from glory to glory. And God is good. And there are no limits with Him. He doesn't limit us at all. The first commandment was to be fruitful. And the second one was to multiply. So we're designed to not stay the same, but to grow from glory to glory. When we receive salvation, a healing process begins in us. And just like a fruit can be a blessing to somebody, we can tell somebody about Jesus today. We can speak a kind word that will help somebody stand. Just like we can eat a peach and we have strength to work. We can say the right thing at the right moment and be a blessing to somebody in real time. And then we can speak other words and sow the seeds of God's word in others. And it will grow, and the healing start process begins in them. In other words, we can speak the gospel to people every day, and through websites, Facebook and YouTube, we can put out kindness. We can speak the kindness of God. We can teach people God's word, and we can sow seeds in others, the seeds of God's word, and it will grow in them and be a blessing to them. We can do this continually. And just like a fruit, you can plant that peach tree seed and it'll eventually be a tree and it'll bear the fruit. And the same DNA of that tree can be spread all over the earth. And one day in the past, you may have eaten from it. But there's potential. Every seed can be sown in good soil. And the DNA of one tree can be spread all over the world. And people can eat off of it centuries later. Now that's the power of the gospel as well. If it'll work for an old peach tree, just think what the gospel of Jesus Christ can do if you plant it in others. It gets in your heart. It blesses you. You speak it to others, and it grows in their lives. We can grow from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and I thank the Lord for all of it. Never underestimate the wonderful things that God can do in your life, the way that He chooses to use you. Now, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will bless you so that you can do whatever it is that needs to be done. But the Lord our God is wise. He'll guide you in all truth. And I promise you, whatever He say, it's going to work real good. Just like we always teach, the Lord knows what to do. It's not by might, nor by power. Don't stress yourself. It's by His Spirit. Just do what He give you to do. It's not a competition. It's all about the love of God. If you can obey Him, if you can obey His loving voice, if you can act on His love, you can win souls. Simple and easy. And remember, He can take what you have and show you the wisdom of how you can use it in a multiplied way. God can do a lot with a small thing. He can do a lot with something that will obey him. People that will just listen to him, hear him out, and obey him. He can do mighty works through them. But he can't do much with hard-headed people. People that won't look to him, won't listen. He can't do much with them. But he can do the greater works with those that love him. And I love him. I thank him for all the wonderful things he helps us do and understand. And I'm looking forward to all the next assignment. I'm looking forward to whatever he brings to my attention. The prophets of old would say, the word of the Lord came to me saying something. The word of the Lord came to me saying, and a vision will come to him. Whatever the Lord reveals, that's what I want to be faithful with. Because in real time, he loves his people. He loves everybody. And for your loved ones, he's working hard to get them saved. He's on the move to help get your loved ones saved, if it's possible at all. Now, the Lord has to stick to his own rules. Jesus said, nothing that defiles will enter heaven. Nothing. And he told the truth. So that's impossible for a sinful man to end up in heaven. It's not going to happen. We have to believe him, take him at his word, and depart from all forms of sin. And through Christ, we can. Don't look at your failures. Look at the Lord. Look unto him. Even when King Ahab walked softly, because the word of the prophet was spoken, it was prophesied that he would die, and he walked softly, and the Lord gave him extra years before he was killed. And you know, if the Lord has great mercy, and he loves us, he loves the enemy is trying to make things look wrong. He's trying to get people out of the realm of faith. That's where he can have the mastery. That's where he can do us damage. He can't make you do he Satan can't make us follow him. He can't make a person follow him. He tempts people with their own. He uses their desires and tempt them away from what makes them strong. If they get involved with sin, sin hardens the heart against God. And when people are in the baby stage of Christianity, they don't know all. They're not skilled yet. And they can't, their judgment's not perfect yet. Their mind is not fully renewed yet. But their spirit man is brand new. And Satan tries to get people off balance while they're in a weakened state. With good teaching, they'll get stronger and stronger, and they'll grow properly. With a steady supply of the word of God, they'll grow just like a healthy baby grows, a healthy person grows. From age to age, they grow. Now, when it comes to Christian people, the Lord won't let the enemy tempt them above their measure to be tempted. In other words, Satan has to fight us on our level, not on his. He has rules too. Satan has to fight us on our level. So you can, the battle is even. The battle is winnable. You can be a baby Christian, and if you choose to follow God, you can. You still have authority over Satan. He still has to obey you. Now, all the scriptures of the Lord or on this wise. You have to be able to take him at his word. You have to be able to speak his word. You have to measure it enough to use it. You have to measure it big enough to use it in your life. The way you measure it, it will be measured back to you. Even authority over Satan is according to how you measure it. Because everything with God, you have to believe him and take him at his word. And then you'll have good success. Now the enemy, in order for him to get one over on you, he has to get you to believe a lie that he's stronger than you. And he has rule. His rules is he has to fight on your level. He can't. We're not as smart as he is because he's older and he's more ancient than we are. If you think about how smart a man will be in 100 years, if he didn't age and he kept learning, you know, in 10 years a man can become a doctor. In 5 to 8 years he could be a lawyer. Another decade he can become a rocket scientist, or an engineer, whatever. In 5 years he can be an engineer. And in sometimes 4 years if he stays the course and don't take breaks. And then in 2 or 3 more years he can go to grad school. Now, those things, that kind of knowledge, 25 years worth of knowledge is amazing to what we can do if we studied that long. Now, he's been an angel long before Adam was born. Adam was created. He knows how to tempt every generation. He has more knowledge than we do. Even he started if he started at the same time of Adam, we would still be outclassed wit for wit if we had to fight Satan wit for wit. But he's got to fight us on our level. If you're a Christian, if he deceives you, he's doing it on your level. He can't fight from his level. He got to fight on our level. So don't be afraid of Satan. Don't be afraid of the demons. They all have the same rules. They got to fight us on our level. And even according to our strength. Now, if you were strong in the Lord and you got weak, he still got to fight you at your level at that time. If you get weaker and weaker, he still got to fight you on your level, on what you can bear. So you can always win if you want to. There are no excuses. We can always win at our will. And the easiest way to do it is the word of God. We have to speak God's word over our lives. We can stop the works of darkness. We can drive him out. We can manage him without letting him manage us. We can rout Satan at our will because we have authority. We just have to believe the word and speak it. Just like Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus showed us how to fight Satan. Before he began his ministry, he had to win. And he fought Satan. And he won. He spoke the word under every challenge. He spoke the word of God and won. You do the same thing. And then you continue to grow in the Lord. Because whatever the things that the Lord have to say to you are important. And he's going to speak his word to your heart, because God speaks to the heart. And you're going to be able to win in life. The way you measure it, it'll be measured to you. And you're going to succeed. That's how it is. And the Lord did it that way because he loves us. He washed us in our own blood. And he washed us in his own blood, rose again, justified us. Jesus did all the hard part. And now we have to do the things of God now so that we can live. But the work of God, it always starts in seed form. That's why in the setting, in Zechariah chapter 4. He said, don't despise. He was talking to Zerubbabel, which is the linking ancestor between the linking ancestor of Jesus Christ. He linked the lineage of Solomon and the lineage of Nathan to Jesus. And if you follow it, he's the one that is mentioned in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Luke. So he told Zerubbabel, don't despise small beginnings. You don't have to. Do it God's way. God, be what God called you to be. Take your place in the kingdom of God and do all that's in his heart. Everything that he has to say is important. The love of God is our treasure. It's a blessing. We can operate just like God by using his word, by speaking his word and obeying it. And he's not going to let us down. He's going to always be with us. His love is always true and good. He don't change. His mercy endures forever. And he has a lot to say. And we have a lot to do. Now, because the Lord our God has so much to say, and everything that he reveals to us will work, treat the seed of what God says as the treasure that it is. Treat it like a treasure that's going to save your house, that's going to save your friends, your family, your loved ones, the people in the congregation. The enemy is going to try to keep you from opening your mouth and speaking what God had to say. He's going to try to make you feel embarrassed. He's going to try to get you to look at the people, how they might not respond, how they might think you're weird, or how they might think that you've gotten in some form of pride. But don't buy into that. Look to the Lord. Every time the Lord gave me something to speak, it always worked out. I was always blessed. It always worked. The enemy would show me all the reasons why I shouldn't say anything. And when I didn't listen to him, when I was steadfast to operate according to God's love and speak the word, it always worked. It wasn't like Satan said it would be. And I spoke words and people received it and they changed. They were blessed. Some words was received. Some words may not have been, but I did my part. The main thing is I obeyed God. And God accounted me righteous for obeying him. I'll be rewarded for doing what I should have done. And even when people don't remember, they remember what you said, and they might have been disobedient that day, but that doesn't mean they'll stay that way. And I hope that people will start obeying God from whatever point they got in the, they became humble to the word and wisdom of God. See, when we're humble to God, we obey him. You can't be humble and disobedient at the same time. If you're humble to God, that you obey him. If you're humble to your boss, you'll do what he say. If you're humble to your spouse, you'll work to their best interest. See, whoever you're humble to, you're going to do right by them. It's a work of obedience. A humble husband will guide his house properly and say something. Sometimes the members of your family may not do what they should. They may not want to do what they should. They may be in they may even be in forms of disobedience against God. But at least you can say what should be said and do what should be done. And then they might be provoked to change and heal and grow up and go forward. So that's what we have to see. See, when we look to the Lord, all the fears of what people may or may not do, we can overcome those fears. We can overcome those doubts and forms of unbelief. We can challenge it. We can destroy it. We can go forward and not backwards. And it's going to be all right. If God said do it, it's all right. You can do it. It's legal. It's going to be a blessing. Now, out of all the people that, when the Lord would send people to speak words, unless the Lord told them that the people wouldn't receive, all those who receive the word were blessed, and all those who rebel. Now, many times God told Ezekiel and sometimes Jeremiah that the people wouldn't listen, but tell them anyway, because God was trying to keep those people from dying so they wouldn't have to be judged by it. Just like we love our hard-headed family and our hard-headed friends and sometimes our hard-hearted co-workers, God loves people. He loves people in a multiplied way than we can. Now, we're not limited to how much we love people. That's up to us. That's not up to God. There's no limit on how much you can love someone. I believe in loving people that I know may not like me. I still pray for their welfare. And if people do me wrong, I pray to God, I don't want anything to happen to people. If whatever they steal from me, work against me, I'm wealthy because I'm in the Father's house. I want to explain for a moment how wealthy we are. All right. If a man lives to be 80 years old, he finishes high school around the age of 17 or 19. Most people finish high school between ages of 17 and mostly a few at 19. But we finish high school, we go to trade school for 2 years or college for 4 years, graduate school, two or three or maybe even 4 years, depending on what you take. But in 25 years, you can start a very good career, and you were steady. You stayed the course. You did what you were supposed to. You finished, and then you get a job, and you learn to manage money. You're doing what the word said do. You were fruitful. And you started to multiply, and you're gonna have ideas. And if you got money in your bank account, you can invest in some of the ideas you have and make even more money. Now, you're on the road to being a very wealthy person. And if you have a network of faith, you go to church, you receive knowledge and balance and all the things you need, the ingredients to be successful. You receive the ingredients of success. People that love you are speaking and praying, speaking to your heart. The knowledge of God, people are giving you words of guidance from the Lord. People are giving you words of encouragement. You learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. Then he speaks words of knowledge. He shows you what to watch out for. He gives you words of wisdom, words of counsel, how to enhance your career, how to understand what your teacher's saying, how to get more out of your class. And you start working, and then you start learning skills on the job you couldn't learn in class. You start acting on your faith. The ideas you have, you start putting them in motion. And you get your network of people to pray for your success. This is how people grow from glory to glory. And then you're a blessing to other people. You give them knowledge and understanding. The same thing God gives you, what you live by becomes your advice. Because that becomes what you trust in. Whatever you trust in becomes your advice. Whatever your advice is, that's what you have grown to trust, whether it's good or bad. But let's say you stick to the good part, like Mary did. You hear from Jesus and you relay the good part. You use it, you relay it to others, they're blessed. And then your heavenly bank account is growing every time you act on the word of God, every time you give people the right encouragement, every time you speak the word of God in love, your bank account in heaven is growing. Now let's say within 80 years, you become a multimillionaire. That's big to man. small to God. But you know the words, you've done what you were supposed to do, and now you're at a position to help others. You have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, and you live a comfortable life, and you help other people live a better life. And you show other young people how to do what you're doing. And anybody that wants to learn, you help them do what they're supposed to do. You have money set aside, you can invest in other people's ideas and help them get started. And you can be a blessing to the poor. You can go to African villages and start things that so they can have wells of water, factories so that they can make their own shoes and clothes. You can go to other countries where there've been great oppression and fierce poverty and famine, and you can help people heal in life if you got something. And every time you do, your heavenly bank account grows. So let's fast forward. Now you're in heaven. This is your first day in heaven. And you're blessed. And you're gonna be curious about things that you see, and you're gonna want to know things. And you're gonna acquire in a multiplied way of what you're going to acquire here, you're going to acquire it in heaven. And let's say in 100 years, your life will be totally different than how it started the first day that you were in heaven. And whatever you were blessed with on this side, it's in your heavenly bank account on that side. And whatever you continue to do every day, you don't run out of time. So what you can accomplish is unfathomable. Is unfathomable right now. Now, that's why I say I'm a very wealthy man. I'm somewhere in the middle of all this, trying to get ahead, trying to go forward, doing the will of God, doing what He gave me to do. And it's working. Every time people get saved on the radio broadcast, I'm more wealthy in my heavenly account. Everybody that helped me do it, they're more wealthy too. Everybody who hear the word and start serving God, they begin to be wealthy in heaven. If somebody took all my possessions right now, I'm still wealthy in heaven, and God can restore it immediately. Now, I don't know how to access the money I have in heaven, but it's there. And God can bless me at any time. Because if you're faithful to Him, He can do that. He's had something to bless you with. And sometimes Pastor McCann said he needed great amounts of money. And he didn't have to wait. He prayed for it, and somebody wrote him a check for $20,000 one time that he needed. That came out of his heavenly account because he kept being faithful. And the Lord can do that. And I thank God He helps us with our heavenly account. But we still have to believe Him for whatever we need or want. Now, Paul talked about this heavenly account in Philippians chapter 4. So, Philippians 4:13. They were the only church that gave to him. And he blessed, and he thanked God that they had money in their account. It's true, it happens. So if we start right now, we're blessed. If somebody stole all of our possessions, if you keep following God, you are blessed. I am very well. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to see things I never thought about. And I've seen some things in visions. I had a dream one night. I saw a glimpse of heaven just for a moment. And what I saw wasn't much to it, but it was beautiful. I saw a meadow, and I had a horse. And the dream didn't last but a moment. I saw my horse. He was brown and white. Now this is the part, I don't even want a horse right now. You couldn't give me a horse. And I'm glad I don't have one here. But I love that horse that I saw. Now watch this. I could tell that my horse loved me. I could feel the love of God coming from the horse. So every believer gonna get a horse. Even if you never had one before, you're gonna get one. And you're gonna love your horse, and your horse is gonna love you. Now I saw that, and that's what I understood in the dream that God gave. He gave me dreams from time to time. And I saw beautiful things. Some things I won't even talk about because it's too wonderful. But I will if God got me to. Paul once said in 1 Corinthians that we're stewards of the mysteries of God. You can't always share what God show you. You have to do it. It's best to do it according to his guidance. Because there were times before I was trained in by the Holy Spirit, whatever the Lord showed me, I'd talk about it to anybody. Or I'd talk about it to people I trust. And sometimes it was out of season and it didn't work right. Because they, you know, it started... I've seen sometimes people they wouldn't understand it, or they might start an argument, or they didn't see it, or they'll think it was strange. And the holy things of God shouldn't be argued over. And the Lord showed me, he guided me to say things to people that he knew could receive it. People that I trust and people that trust me, people that God trusts to receive something like that. He showed it to me as real. And I'll share it with who he give me to. You know, I'll speak about it to the people that he...